A teenage boy had just passed his driving test and asked his dad about when he could begin using the family car. His father said, "Let's make a deal. You bring your grades up from a C to a B average, study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about the car." The boy thought about it for a moment and decided he'd settle on the offer, and they agreed to it. 6 weeks later, his father said, "Son, you brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been reading your Bible every day, but I'm disappointed you haven't cut your hair yet." The boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." And his dad replied, "And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went?" Today we have John the Baptist, a wild man out in the desert. He had long hair, he ate locusts and wild honey, he wore a garment made of camel's hair, he had a leather belt around his waist. Those of you who can see, take a look above the baptismal font, you'll see the stained glass window of St. John the Baptist. And he was a man of penance, a man of prayer, calling people to conversion. And he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. See, the Jewish people knew that before the Messiah came, that there would be an Elijah-type figure that would arise, and that was John the Baptist. In fact, if you read how Elijah is dressed in the Old Testament, it's exactly the same. A camel hair garment, a leather belt around his waist. In fact, you can take a look at the mural here in the sanctuary of Elijah the prophet, wearing that kind of penitential garment with a leather belt, and also preaching repentance, calling people to conversion to prepare themselves for the Messiah. John the Baptist was the first prophet to arise in Israel in 400 years. And there was so much excitement. It says people went out to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And when they did, they confessed their sins. They repented of their sins. John the Baptist's message was repent. The word repent means to turn away from sin and to turn toward God. And really, that is the message of Advent as well, right? Turn away from sin and turn towards God. John the Baptist proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," that the Messiah was coming. He is soon to be here. And then it says that he was the voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord." See, John was the voice. Jesus was the Word. The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. John was the best man. Jesus, the bridegroom of our souls. John's job was to prepare the way. In those days, before a king visited a city, he would always send a herald out ahead of time, and he would say, "Prepare for the coming of the king. Prepare your city to accept the king's visit." And that's what John the Baptist did. He was that herald to prepare the people for the Messiah. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God was at hand. And people responded. They went out to the Jordan River. They were baptized, which was a sign of repentance. It was not yet the sacrament of baptism that would be established by Jesus. In fact, John even says, "I'm only baptizing you with water. But one will come who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." That is the sacrament of baptism. Baptism where we receive the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit within our soul. So people responded. And even the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it says, went out to John. But John could read their hearts, and he knew that they were not genuine. They were not sincere in their repentance or their conversion because they were not producing any good fruit. So John called them a brood of vipers. And he says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John said, "Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." And he says that Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What is that good fruit that we have to produce in our life? Well, it is virtue, it is holiness, it is closeness with God, it is works of mercy and charity. Those are the good fruits that the Lord wants us to produce in our life. Jesus says, if we don't produce that good fruit, we'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. He says that, in fact, he concludes by saying that the Messiah will bring his winnowing fan and he will separate the wheat from the chaff. See, a winnowing fan was like a big pitchfork, almost like a brick oven pizza spatula, where they would throw the wheat and the chaff together in the air and the wind would separate. The chaff would be blown into a separate area, the wheat would go into a separate area. And then it says, the wheat will be gathered into the barn. That's a symbol of heaven. The chaff, it says, will be burned in unquenchable fire. Fire that is never quenched. That's a description of hell. So Jesus says, and John the Baptist, ultimately, we have heaven and hell. We're either going to be wheat or chaff. We'll be the sheep or the goats. We'll be the just or the unjust, the saved or the damned, the holy or the sinful. Ultimately, those are the two choices that we each have to make in our life. So Advent is this opportunity for us to look into our hearts, to repent of our sins, to do what the people did by going out in sincerity and genuineness and confessing our sins, just as the people confessed their sins to John the Baptist. They turn towards God and they produce good fruit. And that's what we're called to do during Advent, to grow in virtue, to grow in holiness, and to grow in our relationship with God as we prepare our hearts again for the coming of the birth of our Savior.